I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. The Sci-Fi Channel's Warehouse 13 is having a Christmas special, and the stars of the show, Saul Rubinek and Eddie McClintock, got together to talk about the episode, filming winter scenes in the summer, and yes, acting. The special has the team getting ready for the holidays, when Eddie's character, Pete, is called away to hunt down a rogue Santa Claus. Meanwhile, Saul's character, Artie, gets ready to see his father, played by guest star Judd Hirsch, for the first time in 30 years. It's a great, fun interview. Check it out.
Well, can you tell us why people keep tuning in to watch Warehouse 13?
You know, it's really interesting. Last year, I crossed the country with my son. We were moving from one coast to the other, and I was kind of used to people recognizing me from either Unforgiven or Family Man or Frasier or something like that. But it was very often, more often than not, Warehouse 13. And what was unusual was I used to be able to pick out people who were recognizing me. What show, you know, my kids and I used to play a game where that was a Frasier fan. That's definitely a Star Trek fan. You know, that's a True Romance fan because of the tattoos, you can tell. But, you know, with Warehouse 13, it's impossible to tell because we've all discussed this, but quite often people are watching this with their families, which makes all of us really proud. I mean, it's a 9 o'clock show. It's really appropriate for kids 10 years old and up, and it's violence is kept to the minimum. And it's a kind of show, because of the humor and because of the adventure fantasy, that seems to work, thank God, for the whole family, so that nobody feels either talked down to or talked up to. And I think it's the secret of its success is that. Now, why that is because there are a lot of smart people in, you know, producing it and writing it. And they're brilliant in their choice of actors, just brilliant. But other than that, but you know, we have a great time, and I think it's kind of contagious. You can tell, I think, that we all have a good time doing the show. We really enjoy it. We really look forward to every day of shooting. We have a great time. We have a wonderful, imaginative showrunner, Jack Kenny, who keeps things humorous and allows for collaboration. And we're very lucky. We're very fortunate. And some of that, I think, transmits through the airwaves to the people tell each other. And that's...
I wanted to ask you, Saul, about Barney's Version. I saw it at AFI Fest this year. And how did you get involved with that project?
Well, I've been involved with the project before. There was a four-part radio version of it done by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation where I had played Barney. And I've known the director, Richard Lewis, and the producer, Robert Lantos, for many years. And also, I had worked with Mordecai Richler, the novelist,
right,
way back 30 years ago. I had done not one, but two different projects that were based on his short stories. And it was really nice. As you know now from the movie, I can't talk too much about who the character is without giving away something crucial that Barney doesn't know about. But it was only, you know, one great scene, and I had to go to Rome to shoot it, so that was kind of fun. And just me and Paul Giamatti, it was really great. That's how I got involved. Also because I'm Canadian originally, and it was Canadian. It's a Canadian film.
How are you most like your characters?
It's an interesting question. You know, when you're doing a television show or a movie, and spend a lot of time going into a movie as you know, for a few days or a few weeks. Sometimes I've been the lead, but more often than not, I've been a supporting actor. And you create characters that are only meant to last and give a quick impression. When you're playing a lead in a television series, as the four of us are, we really have to rely on our own personalities a lot, and the writers start to write for us. So we aren't a lot different from characters that we're playing. You know, I mean, there are aspects of ourselves that may not, you know, come to the fore, and I'm certainly a family man. I've been married 20 years. I have two kids, and I'm not, I didn't do what Artie did, which was sacrifice his entire life for his work and for some greater cause like that. In that way, I'm completely different. But, you know, when you're doing a show week after week, you can't really put your character in quotation marks. You're using yourself at all times, and I'm pretty sure Eddie's going to agree with me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like Stahl said, when you're doing the same, playing the same character for such an extended period of time, it just feels like to me, if I try and be anything other than just kind of who I am, the audience is going to catch me in a lie. You know, so I just try and just kind of be. There's more of me in Pete than I would care to admit, I guess. Cause,
yeah. Well, that we can tolerate, frankly.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I just basically show up and just hang out with my friends. You know, that's basically what it's about.
That's the issue with what happens on any television series, and all the actors that I know who are on long-term television series say the same thing. If you've really got to play some very eccentric, quirky character week after week that has nothing to do with you, you're going to have a problem. It'll really start to, the audience will start to feel that the character is false. You really got to find a way. The writers, producers, the network, everybody's got to be behind them creating a character that suits you once you've been cast, or they've got to fire you and find somebody else that suits the role better, you know? And in this case, we're pretty much what you're seeing is who we are, you know? Well, we obviously didn't choose to work for the FBI or the Secret Service, you know? We chose a different line of life, a line of work, but our personalities are very similar. Maybe with the exception of C.C. Pounder, who's kind of goofy and funny and not nearly as serious as she shows herself to be.
I would say that she has the biggest contrast in regard to who she is.
Yeah. Considering that you shot this in probably the summer in Toronto, how hard did you find it trying to get into the holiday spirit that early in the year?
You know, there's an old joke about doing winter and summer. The writers on MASH used to get, you know, they years ago used to like getting comments from actors, and they used to get all kinds of notes. But then sometimes, you know, this is a story Alan Alda told me, that sometimes, you know, one actor said, well, he's getting changes, maybe I should get changes. Sometimes when they got too many changes, the writers would write a winter episode shot in 102-degree, you know, Calabasas, you know, desert where they'd be around a barrel filled with fire wearing parkas, you know? So
right.
Shooting this in 102-degree weather, and that was the way they would get back at the actors. It was tough. We were hot. It was August, and you know, it was, you know, trying to do winter and covered in whatever they called, whatever that snow was. I think that's probably why they set part of the episode in Los Angeles.
Right.
So that they could at least get outside and do you know, summer-looking Christmas.
I remember Jack Kenny, our exec producer, when we were, because he was also, he directed that episode, Saul had said earlier, and he was like, you guys, to production, make sure that stages are air-conditioned, and he forced production to go and rent like two or three extra
mammoth. That's right.
Mammoth ACs, so that we, you know, weren't just burning up in there. I mean, not just for, you know, the fact that they wanted the production to look decent, but also to keep us comfortable, you know. And that,
yeah, the good fortune
again,
of having a showrunner that used to be an actor, so he can feel for us sometimes.
Right.
He actually, we're not just meat puppets to him, although he may not admit that in public.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite things that Jack used to say was, you know, Alfred Hitchcock is misquoted. He never said that actors were cattle. He said they should be treated as cattle.
Well, Saul, the highlights for me for the episode were the scenes with you and Judd Hirsch, and you guys just just nailed it, and it was, it seemed like you guys would be father and son. How easy was it to?
He's too young to be my dad. He's too young.
Well, true.
10 years. But they aged him up a little bit, you know, and he walked a little bit more slowly because he's probably in better shape than I am. And so I noticed actually watching the episode that it's very subtle what he does with his movements, how he gets up and off the couch, how he sits down. He aged himself in very subtle ways. When you're working with great people, it's effortless. You show up, you're in the scene. Before you know it, it's over. There's no, it's very simple. And I've noticed that my friends who are in different professions that are similar, where skills are used in front of an audience, like especially athletes, that when athletes are working together collaboratively, when a team is working, when you watch a great double play, it just looks easy, doesn't it?
Right.
It looks easy.
Yeah.
And when it looks easy, it's because it is. Years of experience that have allowed it to be that way, or people like each other and they've collaborated well. Of course, in acting, sometimes you're watching a movie and you find out later, my God, these people hated each other, but those love scenes are so hot, you know? And there's the magic of editing and the magic of movies that I guess, you know, wouldn't happen in a the same way, you know, in a double play situation. But all I can say is that it was a joy. It was really a joy. It was very simple. I felt like I'd worked with him for years. It's kind of similar thing happened to Allison and I the very first time we worked together. I felt like we'd worked together for years, even though there's, you know, 40 years separating us in age.
Do you guys prefer working on a film where you're creating a character for a couple months, or when you're doing a show, like where you guys said earlier, you're basically playing yourself?
That's a really good question. It really, you know, after all these years, I can tell you it depends on so many things and on what the people are like and whether you've got a great script. It really can be a nightmare doing a television series where you're locked into something with people that you have trouble with. And I have friends who've been on series where, you know, the showrunners and the writing staff, and it's all been, there's been tremendous insecurity from the network, and so things change constantly. Everybody's nervous about how much money they're spending trying to get an audience. I've never been in a show that's been the number one show of a network, and I've never been on a show ever that's had this kind of support from a network and a studio and had such a happy experience. So there's nothing really in all the 40 years that I've been working that can compare to doing the show. I can say that without any, you know, qualms. It's really a joy from beginning to end. Of course, we all like doing different things. You know, we like variety. We are getting a lot of variety on this show. The character isn't stuck in one area, so it really depends. I've done radio and theater. I'm trying to do more theater now because it's a completely different joy that happens as an actor, as you know. But it's been, the show is offering all of us a lot of opportunity for versatility.
Well, I mean, the closest thing I've ever come to doing a film was I played Lauren Bean's hands.
Who's doing it now?
In Lawrence Kasdan's Mumford.
You're doing a film now, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a TV movie, but I think it's a little different, you know. I can't really remember what the question was exactly. I'm tweeting.
It's cool. My last question is, well, what's your advice to actors?
Here's one piece of advice. Don't listen to anybody giving you advice. There'd be one thing to not do. You know, if you can be advised away from doing acting, you probably don't belong there. You know, it's a terribly difficult thing to choose. It's kind of got to choose you. You know,
I can just speak from my experience. You know, and I've had a lot of young people from back in Ohio where I'm from who have asked me what they should do. And, I mean, I don't know what they should do, but I could tell them what I did, and that was I got into, I started taking class here because, or in L.A., because, you know, it's the business itself is so cold. I mean, not to be too trite, but it's a cold business. And when you're in class, for me, you know, it becomes kind of it becomes a bit of an extended family because you're probably not from LA when you get there. So, you know, you develop a support system in class, and it's a great way to meet people and do showcases. And, you know, I met my manager through my acting class, and a lot of people that I know that are still working, I met through class. So that was probably the most important thing for me, is I got in class with a good, reputable acting coach, and I studied and studied and studied and studied and worked really hard to feel that I had, that I was, you know, qualified to actually walk into a room and call myself an actor.
Thanks, Eddie and Saul, and thank you guys for listening. Hey, I want to thank you because in the past couple months, Daily Actor has skyrocketed in visitors, and it's all because of you. So keep coming back for more great interviews, columns, and resources. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.